All right, we're at Genesis 40. Verse 1, Genesis 41. It came to pass after these things that the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their lord the king of Egypt, that'd be Pharaoh. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief butler and the chief baker. So he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the prison, the place where Joseph was confined. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, so they were in custody for a while. Then the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, dreamed a dream, both of them each man's dream in one night, and each man's dream with its own interpretation. And Joseph came into them in the morning and looked at them and saw that they were sad. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in the custody of his lord's house, saying, "Why do you look so sad today?" And they said to him, "We each have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it." And Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please." Then the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, "Behold, in my dream a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches. It was as though it budded, its blossoms shot forth, and its clusters brought forth ripe grapes. Then Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand." And Joseph said to him, "This is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Now within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your place. And you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former manner when you were his butler. But remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews. And also I have done nothing here that they should put me into the dungeon." When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, "I also was in my dream, and there I had three white baskets on my head. In the uppermost basket there were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, and the birds ate them out of the basket on my head." So Joseph answered and said, "This is the interpretation of it. The three baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh from you." Now it came to pass on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. Then he restored the chief butler to his butlership again, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Let's pray. Lord, we see disappointments in Joseph's life, and certainly way well beyond what he deserved, because he'd done nothing wrong. And it's your way, Lord, in this world we see tribulation and anguish and difficulties when your children, we would think logically, might not have any of those. And yet it seems that we would have more at times. And so we are given this to learn from. And so, Lord, we ask for guidance and understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was a young boy, I started hearing the radio, shows on the radio or songs on the radio. We had a local station, WTYN, in Tryon. And so the announcer, or I guess he'd be called the DJ in some locales, he would come on and say, "Now in the studio we have Elvis Presley." So in my early years, it was my belief that Elvis was actually at the radio station, and that he was in the room where the microphone was, where they broadcast. So he would say another song, a singer would come in, and I thought the same thing, and I thought that for some time. It didn't occur to me that that was impossible, that a little town like we had, Elvis would never come, or any other singer, really. And if he did come, we'd hear one song, and by the time he got around to us the next time, after being to all the other radio stations in the world, well, it would be 50 years, you know, since. So it was, my belief was off. What I believed was not according to reality. Now, how we get to believe things like that, it just happens, basically. We get an idea in our head, and we go with it. And until we're told differently, we tend to believe it. I read where someone said that he thought that people who died on television actually died. That if they were guest stars and they died, that's what they were doing. They had come to the show with the understanding that they would be killed. And yet they did it anyway. Well, of course, that's not true either. So when we look at Joseph's life and how the Lord dealt with him, our imagination would not think that it would be this way. Joseph has been mistreated. Joseph has been mistreated by his brothers, sold into slavery. He's been mistreated by Potiphar's wife and imprisoned by Potiphar without doing anything wrong. And he's been in prison. Now, by the time he gets out, he's going to be 30. But for now, it would seem, when we're at this stage at Genesis 40, that Joseph is about 28 years old. So from the time we're first told about Joseph's age, which was 17, and now we've seen 11 years go. So he was in transit from the land of Canaan. He was in Potiphar's house for some time, and now he is in the dungeon. So by the time he's at this stage in Genesis 40, he is 28 years old, I would say. Because we see the timeline in chapter 41, verse 1, where it says at the end of 2 full years, and then later on, when he finally stands before Pharaoh, he was 30 years old. So we'll see all that as we go through this. Verse 46 of chapter 41, Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So that's the time frame we're talking about here. So for some time, Joseph has been in prison. He's been falsely in prison, and there's no sentence given. It's just at the will or the wish of the captain of the guard. Now, when Joseph went into prison, we were told that Potiphar was angry with him. We're told that verse 20 of chapter 39, Joseph's master, that would be Potiphar, took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the prison. The Lord and Joseph had favor with the keeper of the prison. And so the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of everything, just like Potiphar had put him in charge of everything. When we come to the next chapter, we see that the captain of the guard, which is what Potiphar was, the captain of the guard, chapter 39, verse 1, he's still involved. And so Joseph is in prison by the captain of the guard, which could have been Potiphar. That's parallel here. And that so Potiphar would be the one to decide when he ever got out of prison, which would be probably, in the words of the great Donny Osmond, the 12th of never. So he's probably stuck in there for forever if he's still angry about he thought he was accosting his wife. So, going to the prison meant, though, that he was going to be in touch with the royal family in some way, and this is the way we see unfold here. Verse 1 then says that the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And the king of Egypt could do nothing to them because they were in the workers' union. And so they called their representative and they had a contact with Pharaoh and they said, Pharaoh, you can't throw them into prison. They're in the union. They're paid up union dues and it's all, we've got an agreement. No, it was whatever Pharaoh wanted to do. The king does what he wants to do. So the king was angry with them and threw them into prison. We're told in verse 2. We're not told why he was angry with them. My guess for the butler was, you know, he brought him a whole big pot of steamed broccoli and that in there right there. So anyway, the two are in prison. And in the custody of the captain of the guard, in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison. And so Joseph was there, and the captain of the guard, verse 4, charges Joseph with them, and he served them, so they were in custody for a while. We're never told if this is Potiphar, how he felt about what he had done, throwing Joseph into prison. We don't know how long he'd been there, but for some time he was there, and now he was in charge, and the captain of the guard probably knew that Joseph was blessed and was a good administrator in all the things that he was doing. He gave him charge of the butler and the baker. So they dreamed a dream. Dreams are interesting things. It'd be dangerous in some places for me to ask anybody, even a small group like we have, if you've ever had a dream that you dreamed that actually came true. And it gets eerie. I've dreamed things before, and like you get deja vu. And it's like I was putting on the putting green at the Tryon Country Club one time, and I stopped myself one day, and I was putting. And I said, wait a minute now. I've been here before. And I knew how the putt was going to go, and it went kind of like that, and I go, ooh, here. And I let that go. But dreams are basically without meaning in most cases. I mean, you dream, it doesn't mean anything. Now, in modern society, we have psychiatrists and psychologists who sometimes get with dream interpretation. It's not, that's more of a psychological ploy. What does it mean to you? What could it mean? It's just kind of mining information, maybe. They can't tell what it means. And some people think, oh, I dreamed a dream, I've got to know what it means. And in that time, if you dreamed a dream, it was troubling if you didn't know what it meant. And you see that in Nebuchadnezzar with Daniel, and you see it here with the butler and the baker, and they're sad. Daniel comes in, and they're sad. I mean, in all the crazy dreams I've ever dreamed, I've never been sad after because I didn't know what it meant. So they really were attuned to finding out what it meant. Something must mean something. And here they are in prison and they're scared. The butler and the baker. The butler would bring, things that they both would bring things to the king, to Pharaoh, that he would imbibe, he would eat, and he would take into his body. They had to be very trustworthy. They had to be extremely above any kind of reproach. And so they dream a dream, which in itself would mean nothing, but they are troubled. And when Joseph sees them, verse 6, and he sees they were sad, he asks them, and they say, well, we dreamed a dream and we have no idea what it means. Now, if somebody asked me that, if somebody, oh, Pastor, I've got to talk to you. What's wrong? I've dreamed a dream. I don't know what it means. I'd probably say, what was the dream? And once they told me, I said, oh, that means you're supposed to be tithing double now. I mean, it wouldn't mean nothing. I mean, it's just not, it's of no rationale. You can't nail a dream down. Sometimes you dream because you ate something. Sometimes you dream because you saw a movie about something. Sometimes it's what you're thinking about that you dream about. It just doesn't have any kind of foundation. But Joseph says, this is true, he says, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please. Joseph was gifted. There are two people of the Jews who we're told are gifted in the interpretation of dreams. Joseph and Daniel. And both of them were in service to a pagan ruler. Joseph was in the service of Pharaoh, ultimately. And Daniel was in the service of Nebuchadnezzar. So both of them were in the presence in the land of the potentate of the nation. And they were able to interpret dreams. So he says, tell it to me. And the butler and the baker both had a very similar type of dream. In a number of ways, they're just parallel. Threes and their service to the Pharaoh and stuff. So the chief butler says in verse 9, well, I was in my dream, and a vine was before me. And the vine had three branches, and they budded, and blossoms shot forth, and clusters brought forth ripe grapes, and Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. So that's his dream. That was what he was sad about. He didn't know what it meant. I think the sadness part is the spirit of the age is that they believed in dreams saying something. And then they were in prison and they didn't know what Pharaoh was going to do. So they were living every moment on the edge of death. They were at any moment subject to being killed. They didn't have any lawyers, nothing like that. They could be disposed of however Pharaoh thought. So they were probably very frightened, and then they dream this dream and just trouble them more, so they want to know what it means. So Joseph doesn't even hesitate. He says in verse 12, this is the interpretation of it, the three branches of 3 days. Now within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your place. You'll put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former manner when you were his butler. You're going to get out in 3 days. Now, that's exactly the kind of dream you want to hear. And I'll say this, mostly when people divine in our day-to-day, when they give you your horoscope or your astrological reading and read your palm or look at the crystal ball, it usually going to be okay. They're going to say, oh, you're having a great week next week. This is good, and you should. And you get that optimistic, positive feeling, and often you fulfill it yourself. And then you'll come back because you want to hear more from that person. But if they said, oh, you're not even get home, you're going to die in a wreck on the way home. You're not even come back to that person. So it's more of a commercial appeal. But Joseph is telling the truth. He's just saying what's going to happen. 3 days, you're going to be back to your job and doing what you used to do. And then Joseph says this, but remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh. And set me and get me out of this house. He doesn't, he doesn't say that same thing to the baker. He doesn't say, remember when you, because the baker's not going to make it back. Because he says, I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and also I have done nothing here that they should put me into the dungeon. Now what Joseph is facing is something that we face, but not with the same circumstances. And that is, has God forgotten us? And he's in the dungeon, he's in charge, but he's not where he wants to be, and his life is not what he wants his life to be. And he is in misery there, and he's 28. And he's going to waste away in prison. That's what you think. And so it's really a pitiful kind of request, and it's heartbreaking if you think about it. Remember me when you see Pharaoh, because I shouldn't be here. I didn't do anything wrong. And his mind is going all the way back to when they sold him, his brothers sold him to slave traders. That's where his pain goes, way back deep into his own land. And so the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good. I think what that means, some people have said it, he saw it was accurate. I don't think he could see it was accurate. He saw it was good, meant he was going to be restored. I mean, the baker saw that the butler was going to be restored. He got good news. What does the baker want to know? Good news. So he says, here's my dream then. Joseph's on a roll. He's telling good news. So here's what I dreamed. Verse 16, I was also in my dream. I had three white baskets on my head. In the uppermost basket, there were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh. And the birds ate them out of the baskets on my head. And he gets those big smiles and says, what does that mean? And he's eager probably to find out he's going to get out. So Joseph answered, verse 18, this is the interpretation of it. The three baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh from you. What do you do for 3 days after that? The butler's getting out. The baker is 3 days from becoming two parts, hung on a tree. So the third day was Pharaoh's birthday. Verse 20 tells us. He made a feast for all his servants, and he restored the chief butler and the chief baker. They're often in cultures, when you celebrate, you let your prisoners free. You know, kind of like a pardon, because it's my birthday. I'm giving you a gift on my birthday. But in this case, just as Joseph said, he restored the chief butler, verse 21, to his butlership again, and he once again placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. So in 3 days, what Joseph predicted came to pass to the letter. And the butler, verse 23, did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Now, we fight this. It depends on your makeup, really. But some people have a certain optimism about life and a certain ability to trust. They roll through life and they're not bothered by a whole lot. We call them happy-go-lucky optimists. They don't get down too easily. But some people are exactly the opposite. Some people are just looking out, waiting to see what's going to happen today. They're dismal, they're negative, they're untrusting. They fear, and they get into despair. And some people easily get into despair. Some people, it takes a while. But whatever it is, when you get into despair, all hope leaves. And you're just an object. And you have no thought of ever being other than you are. And Joseph, unless he is a strong person of faith, which we know he is, could easily be destroyed by all the things he's going through, all the false accusations. One of the worst things to bear up under is a false accusation. If you've done something and somebody catches you on it, and you at least know in yourself that you deserve what's happening to you. With Joseph, he was falsely accused, he was sold into slavery, all that was wrong. And now, he's forgotten. I mean, one, two, three punches. And he's... The danger is for any one of us is to think that God has just forgotten us. I mean, we know it's not true if we're strong in faith and knowledge of God. We know it can't be, but it feels that way. And when is this going to... I've asked the Lord, and this never happened, and I've sought you for this, and it's never happened, and I've been going through this for so long, and it's not changed, and here Joseph is, and he's... Once again, he had hope, and down it goes. And this took place, we're told in verse 1, for 2 more years. Came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh had a dream. Now, there's your connection. And the thought is, how can God leave Joseph in that situation and really on the border of despair unless he's clinging closely to his confidence in God, which Joseph would, I think. But even that, he's suffering there. He doesn't want to be there. And there's that constant injustice that you're in there and you really didn't do it. And that happens. And I know in prison, a lot of people that are in there didn't do it. And sometimes it's true. Most of the time, it's not. You meet a lot of innocent people in prison. And some are. And those who are in prison falsely, that's double anxiety. That's double hurt. This is Joseph. He was being tried. This is a severe test. And again, people in prisons today, they can at least count the number of days until they have a parole hearing or their sentence is over. They've got a lawyer. They've got contact with the outside. Joseph is away from his home. He's shut up in there. He doesn't have any privileges other than what's given to him. And he could be in there forever. And despair is very close to that. And we have that danger. Because we have to say this, the ways of the Lord will always astound us. I mean, God's doing something. We know because he's going to put Joseph in touch with Pharaoh. And then Pharaoh is going to get back with... No, I'm not giving more away. I know you know the story, but... But God's doing something. And yet, when he leaves Joseph, an innocent person, in jail for years, and even dangles a little bit of hope in front of him, and then it doesn't come to fruition, It seems cruel. But the Lord sees things differently, and this is what's hard for us to understand. We're in time. Let me wax philosophical just for a moment. If you think about it, time is a creation. Remember, time is of this personal creation. Time is measured by the sun. God made the sun. The earth moves around the sun once a year, rotates once a day. So time is a product of creation. God created the heavens and the earth. And time, evening and the morning of the first day, evening and morning of the second day, and it was all laid out at the beginning, time. Time is within the framework of eternity. God is eternal. God is not subject to time like we are. God made time for this world. But he's not subject to it. It's not like God says, I've got 3 more years before I do this. That's from our perspective, he would say that, but not from his own. God is in eternity. Eternity is on both sides of time, if you think about it. The Lord Jesus is the beginning and the end, the first and the last. All of the nature of the Lord is at being eternal is He's on both sides of time. He's before and after. Because time is like a strip of cloth stuck on the fabric of eternity, and eternity is all around it, and time is right there in that little bit, and time is being worked out in that little strip. And the Lord already sees everything according to eternity. So, in essence, the way the Lord sees is not that Joseph is just in prison for years without justice, but that he already sees what is happening and what's going to happen. And it's hard for us to grasp because it's just, you know, we have minds that are of this dimension. But I say all that to say that God is not being cruel to Joseph. He sees what he's doing, and it's good. And Joseph is fine with it, because God also sees from eternity, and he knows Joseph is fine with it in eternity. And I know it gets a little bit wrapped up, but the Lord is doing all things well. It's one of the first things we learn as Christians is that God doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't do things wrong. And he doesn't hate his children, although he may cause suffering for his own glory and our good. What happens is good. And it's not like all the agony of Joseph is nothing to the Lord. Now, he does care. He is compassionate. He is merciful. All the things that we know about the Lord being love, all that is not lost on Joseph. The Lord is very, all those things to Joseph. It just seems like. You see, that's the way it is with us. When it seems like the Lord is acting against his nature, he's not acting against his nature. When it seems like the Lord has forgotten his children, when he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, that's a false feeling. To sing right in the studio. It's just a false view of reality. Now we will appreciate the next chapter, which Lord willing we'll get to next week. But one thing we need to not lose sight of and lack appreciation for is how Joseph stayed true to the Lord, and the Lord stayed true to Joseph even in all of this. Any comments or thoughts you have?